Welcome to Joyful Marketing. I'm Simone Soul, and I teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buy Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how.
Hey friends, this is a little love note from me to you slash a little advice slash encouragement that it's not the most useful question in the world to ask yourself, like, what is the perfect niche for me? What is my exact offer statement? What's the exact wording that's best for my business when it comes to what I do and how I offer it to the world? And I wanted to tell you this because so many coaches spend so much time trying to get the what of their business exactly right and exactly sexy. And I don't blame them because I've been there myself. And what I want to save you from is, I mean, not that I save you, but you know what I mean? I want to save you the time that you take trying to get one statement perfect and then second guessing if it's the right one and then changing your mind and having another statement that seems right for 5 seconds and then it doesn't quite seem right again and you second guess yourself. And so that all takes up lots and lots of time. And here's why I think spending time on that is not the most useful thing you can do for your business, most likely. I would say in like 95% of circumstances that I see is because I think for the majority of coaches who are, I consider if you've made under $100,000 or $150,000 in your business, I consider your business to be in the phase of sort of like self-discovery and you being in a dance with the spirit of your business to find out like really who you are as a coach and what precisely is the nature of the gift that you have to offer the world as a coach. And just like, I think, you know, trying to hone down the perfect offer pitch wording or the perfect niche statement in that phase, which is, you know, under $150,000, I would say a little bit is like taking a kid who's in second grade or a kid who's a toddler or a kid who's even like in seventh grade and trying to force them to conform to a career trajectory that you anticipate for them. So, you know, it's kind of like, say you're taking a 5-year-old and you're like, all right, kid, you are going to be an astronaut and everything that you do in your life, all your school, all your extracurricular activities, all your hobbies, I'm going to tailor around the idea of you becoming an astronaut. Now, that might work out great. That might be exactly what the kid wants and what's best for the kid, but the kid is 5. You know, like, don't you want to spend some time with the kid and find out what they want to do and expose them to different experiences and have them learn a variety of things as opposed to pigeonhole a 5-year-old into thinking that they should be an astronaut because you think that's the best job for them, right? Or the same thing, even if you're in high school, let's say, right? Like, and you're relatively way more advanced than a 5-year-old, it's still like, you know, taking a high schooler and telling them, okay, you are going to be a journalist, I decided, and you are only going to do journalism and that's going to be 100% of your extracurricular activities. And I just decided that's the path you're on. Again, that might be how somebody's life shakes out, but I think in a very, very small minority of the time, right? Do we ever know when we're that young what we're going to quote unquote do for the rest of our lives? You know, I think even now at age 35, I'm still finding out who I am and what my work is all about and how I'm serving the world. And you can bet, like, I changed my mind, or rather, I don't want to say I changed my mind, I grew my mind, right? I evolved my knowledge of myself and my knowledge of the world and how, what I have to contribute. You know, I evolved in all of those ways all throughout my childhood, all throughout my teens, all throughout my 20s, all throughout even my early 30s. And I think I'm going to continue to evolve. And I think your business, the heart and the soul of your business has a very similar growth trajectory, right? So at first, in the first part of your business, again, which I'm roughly defining as from zero to about $150,000 in revenue. I know it's not cut and dry, but roughly that's what I'm calling it. That is when your job is to like love it. And when I say it, I mean the heart of your business. Love it, honor it, be curious about it, talk to it, and find out, hey, what do you want to experience now? How do you want to grow up, right? So a question that I want to offer, if you're thinking about how to word your offer or how to word your niche or non-niche, you know, even if you have a general life coaching niche, you still have to like think about how you want to show up and offer what you have to the world. A much better question than like what's the exact perfect wording for me, I think, is the question of what wants to be offered through me to the world at this moment, right? Like think of yourself as a creative channel, right? Like I have gifts. I come here bearing gifts and I come here bearing medicine for the world that's going to heal the world, that's going to be beneficial to the people that I seek to serve. So what is it? What feels important to be expressed through me right now? Right? What wants to come through me? What wants to use me as a channel? What truth? Right? What medicine? What love? What transformation is longing to express itself through me right now? Right? And think about that. And I'm placing an emphasis here on right now because that gives your business, your offer, room to kind of open itself up and explore and learn and evolve, right? Like when you're trying to find the perfect offer or the perfect niche, what happens is that you close off the possibility, you close off the room to evolve. Again, using the child metaphor, it's kind of like, you know, getting a kid outfitted for a suit, let's say, right? And you do the kid's measurements, et cetera, and you get him a perfectly tailored suit. And then you tell them, okay, well, this is what you're wearing for the rest of your life, right? Well, the kid is not done growing yet. In fact, they're just beginning to grow. What are you going to do in 6 months, in a year when they're like growing, you know, like 2 inches? You know how kids grow so fast? So it's instead of that, asking yourself this question of like, what wants to offer itself through the vessel that I am, through the channel that I am, to the world right now. That is like, it's like a weird metaphor, but it's like a dress. It's like a suit that grows on you and grows with you, right? I get the appeal of the certainty that you think might, you know, help you when you think, okay, this is my offer. This is the perfect one for the foreseeable future or forever and ever. And like that certainty might give you the illusion of like comfort and safety. But again, that keeps you from further experimentation. That keeps you from evolving more. When I think about my journey to $0 to my first $100,000, my first $150,000, I can't even tell you the number of offers I had. I'm not necessarily saying that more offers is better, but I'm so glad I didn't put the pressure on myself to have to figure out the one perfect offer that I have to stick to no matter what. Because I decided at age 6 that a child is going to like be this dress size forever, you know, or a child is going to have this career from now and forever, right? Like, and instead, I took a much more playful approach to it. And I really took it as an exploration of my gifts and treated everything truly as an experiment, right? Like, oh, like I feel really compelled to offer this. Does this work? Does that work? Okay, how do I tweak this? How do I tweak that, right? And the whole time, I think in retrospect, that's not what I was thinking back then, but in retrospect, I think I was in intimate conversation with the spirit of my business, with my gifts, you know, along with everything that I was learning about, like about business and marketing and selling. I'm so glad that I didn't let it be static, right? And I hope that you won't let your business or your offer or your niche feel perfect and static and, you know, has no room for movement, right? Because that really, I think for everyone, I do want to say for 100% of coaches who are in that first part of their business growth journey, there's so much fascinating, soul enriching, amazing discovery to be had from allowing yourself to be in a dance, right? You know how it is when you're in a dance, whether it's a tango or a cha-cha or a salsa or whatever. It's like you gotta, like, half of it is you doing what you think is the right move for you. And the other half is like being responsive, right, to your partner's moves. Like, what's my partner doing with their feet? What's my partner doing with their hands? And then you kind of go along with it. There's this like push and pull dance of responsivity. Is that a word? I think so. Responsivity. And that's what I would like to encourage of you. And these are the magic questions. And if you don't love the wording of how I'm saying it, I encourage you to change the wording so it makes more sense to you and it resonates more with you. But it's always like, what is the perfect offer forever and ever? Or what is the perfect offer that's going to get me the exact result I want right now? But instead, which kind of like those questions tie you to an idea of perfection, that they tie you to an attachment to what you think the result, what you want the result to be, and instead ask yourself a much more dynamic question that gets you paying attention to your inside, and that gets you paying attention to your truth, that gets you paying attention to your connection to the spirit of your business, which is, what is the truth that wants to express itself through me and this offer at this point in time? Right? What wants to make itself known to the world for, on behalf of the people I serve, you know, through this offer, right? If I have the freedom and the room and the right to change and evolve my offer, what does it need to be now for me to learn as much as I need to about myself and the people I serve, right? And that means, you know, and if you really committed to something, you know, there are times when really sticking to what you committed is the growth, and that's where the treasures are. But I think way more often than not, it's, I see coaches being too rigid, you know, the equivalent of choosing a career for a 5-year-old child, for a 12-year-old child even, and, you know, tailoring their entire lives around that career you chose for them, instead of being really curious to find out how the child wants to learn about the world and evolve, and how you can give them as many experiences as possible. And so I want to be sure that when I use this metaphor of a child, I'm not saying at all, what I'm implying is not that your business is immature or it doesn't know what it's doing or that it's infantile. Like, that is not what I am implying at all. Even when you are in what I'm calling the beginning phase of a business, I'm only calling it a beginning phase because I'm assuming that you're going to make $1 million. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that that is your trajectory. So if you put it in the grand scheme of things, if you are going to make millions of dollars and you're in your first $100,000, that's your beginning phase, right? So I'm really pointing to your, when I compare your business to a child, what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that it's immature. What I'm saying is that look at the long view, right? Look at the big picture and how much growing your business has to do, and how much growing your business wants to do to fully, fully stretch its wings in the world. And also because I don't think childhood is necessarily defined by like immaturity or like the, you know, it's not like lacking because the child's not an adult yet, right? I think there is so much that's like sacred and like holy and so important in that first phase of a human being's life where you begin to like really experience the world for the first time and figure out what your place in it is and who you are. And I really want to encourage you to be a loving, thoughtful, non-agenda enforcing guardian of that being, right? So that's what I wanted to impress upon you with this whole like parent metaphor, right? What kind of parent would you wish to be if you had a human child? Maybe if you do have a human child, you can think about it, right? I'm assuming if your philosophy is aligned with mine, that it's not you cramming the child down a straight and narrow path that you arbitrarily set for them because you think it's best for them, right? I assume, again, if your philosophy is aligned with mine, that you would want to give them the best environment for them to find out who they are and to be able to thrive and prosper through the process of finding the truth about who they are and how they can best serve the world. Okay, so that is my love note slash encouragement slash advice to you today. The perfect niche statement, the perfect offer pitch does not exist. It does not matter because, I mean, it does not matter as long as you are constantly willing to let yourself evolve into ever growing congruency with the work that wants to express itself to in the world through you. All right, my friends, I'll talk to you next week. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.